Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening or watching. Thanks for making us part of your day. J-Mac Wild Weekend, one of the best non-football season weekends of the year. A lot of the big names in the NBA. If the Nuggets beat the Lakers tonight, Steph's out, KD's out, LeBron's going to be out, Embiid's about to get vanquished and shoved out.
That's a big star.
All the big stars in the NBA, the old guys, the superstars, are getting bounced, and here are all the young kids taking over.
It's Jalen Brunson's time, baby. Anthony Edwards' time.
Yeah, it's a good time. Let's start with the NFL draft. So I'm not a big believer that you can forecast who had the best NFL draft. I don't know how a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounder is going to do, but I have felt through the years, I can be more accurate assessing who won the draft if I combine your free agent moves with your top two or maybe three picks. Then my accuracy on, you know, grading what you did, looking how you improved, much easier. And using that, the Chicago Bears, more than any NFL team, will simply look different. They upgraded personnel more than any NFL franchise, almost all of it on offense. One team, the Chicago Bears, between Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, Kalem Williams, Roma Dunze, that's a grown-up group. And because the division is now so stacked offensively, go look at Minnesota's offensive personnel, Green Bay's in Detroit. There's only one way to win in that division, and it's not defense. You're going to have to outscore people. Three offensive coaches, and the Bears have a defensive coach. So last season, the Chicago Bears were 27th in passing. They're not going to look anything like that this season. They were a terrible fourth quarter team. They could not play from behind. You have to be able to play from behind, especially in a division with three offensive coaches and stacked offensive rosters. The Bears couldn't last year. But now they have two legit receivers and now a rookie who could be a third. Two legit tight ends, NFL productive, a good running back, two legitimate tackles, and yes, a much better quarterback. It's not close. Kalem Williams is significantly more talented, more accurate than Justin Fields. So the first time I can ever remember the Bears having a top 7, 8, 9, 10 offensive personnel group. This is a real team, a real offense, and if you count free agency and your top couple of picks, no NFL team, and it's the right side of the ball, will look more different than the Chicago Bears. And the man, the architecture, Ryan Poles, GM of Chicago, talked about it.
I think we made huge strides forward. There's work to be done,
But, you know, this is an impact draft for this organization for sure. Everything fell into place. I would have never guessed that it would have lined up the way that it did. So we're all excited. A lot of hard work went into it, and it paid off for sure. And now it's time to start a new chapter for this organization.
One of the best receiver groups in the league, one of the most talented quarterbacks, better than average tight end, a running back that can catch. Poles is a former offensive lineman. I like both their tackles. This is the way. This is the side of the ball. And no team upgraded more than the Chicago Bears if you count free agency and their top couple of picks. That I can guarantee. The other takeaway from the offseason, free agency and draft, is the opposite end of the spectrum, the Dallas Cowboys, who did not get any better in free agency. They had no money because they're overpaying Dak, and did not draft a running back, although they need two desperately, and they need another receiver or three, and they only got one in the sixth round. They will be more dependent on Dak Prescott than ever before. And there are basic lines that we know are true. If Dak doesn't get 100 yards run support, he's got a losing record. Dak has feasted on losing teams in the NFL. And with Philadelphia signing A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and acquiring Saquon Barkley and upgrading coordinators, you better be ready and you better have ammo. And Dallas signed Zeke, who is washed. We saw it in New England. So don't confuse tanking with strategy. Billionaires would rather have an average season but maintain leverage. I mean, Jerry's not going to Super Bowls in the last 25 years anyway. What he doesn't want to do, and the reality of how Jerry Jones has lived the last several years, is paying a B quarterback A-plus money. And he does not want to do that again. He would rather sacrifice this season. They'll be good. They won't be terrible. They got too many good players. It's the NFC. It's weak. Washington, New York still kind of rebuilding teams, right? But Jerry does not want to lose leverage again like he did last time on Dak and massively overpay for him. And the rumors and the numbers that Dak wants is $55 to $60 million a year. That's Mahomes' territory, and he's not close. So what did the Cowboys do? Didn't draft a young running back. Didn't really attack receiver. They rebuilt their offensive line for Dak, perhaps, or the next quarterback. I thought it was strategy. I'm not in a contract year going to let your numbers soar. Hey, Mahomes won a Super Bowl without a number one receiver. You've got a number one receiver. You have a more than capable head coach. He won a Super Bowl. You've got a good solid B, B minus, B plus tight end. But we're going to build the offensive line. That's how we got you to be 13-3 when you entered this league. I thought it was a strategy draft, and I don't disagree with it. But billionaires do not like losing leverage. They'll lose football games. They're okay losing football games. They don't like losing leverage. And Jerry wants leverage in negotiations. And my guess is when you take Dak's run game away, his numbers drop. And that's what Jerry... Now, you can win games. And they can win games with that new O-line and that defense. But it won't be a Dak-led team because we know the truth is when Dak has to be the centerpiece of the offense without a great run game. And Zeke's not the answer. Here is Jerry afterwards on their draft.
Relatively, we have given ourselves a chance to be better at the end of next year than we were at the end of this year. Because I'm figuring in now some young guys that last year didn't play as much as they're going to be playing this year and some of the positiveness there. We're in a situation where these young players, where they're first, second, third-year guys, they've got to start carrying the mail for the Cowboys.
Yeah, you're not the Lions. You got whacked by the Packers in a playoff game. You're not the Rams anymore. You're not the Niners. Forget the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens. Jerry knows the truth here. This is going to be a completely Dak-led offense, and there'll be limitations in a contract year. All right, lot to talk about in the NBA. Joel Embiid, not happy that a lot of Knicks fans bought tickets and were at the Philadelphia game. I'd worry more about you than the fans, just me. But I've been told for years that Joel Embiid is a superstar. I've been assured he is MVP over Jokic, even though Jokic analytically is a much better player. But once again, I watch a series, and Embiid is not even the best player in the series. Jalen Brunson is. Last year, second round against Boston, he shot 28% in the deciding game. How about yesterday? How about this series? Do you know what he's shooting in the fourth quarter in this series against the Knicks? 17%. You keep telling me he's one thing, and I keep seeing he's another. And somebody said it on the internet, apologies for not noticing who, but he plays small. He's out there on their perimeter defensively. He's out there handling the ball and shooting. Zero factor in the fourth quarter. Not only is he shooting poorly in the fourth quarter, do you realize that he has only two rebounds in the series in the fourth quarter? He shrinks. That's why you pay a superstar. That's why you paid MJ or Magic or LeBron or Steph. It's not for the first 8 minutes. It's for the last five. He's not scoring. He's not rebounding. And the Knicks are cleaning up on the offensive glass. Now, the Knicks are a very diligent, hardworking, aggressive team that rebounds offensively very well. But they're rebounding offensively even better against Embiid. That can't be the case. When you got a guy that's the MVP and year after year. And by the way, it's okay if you're kind of a big man's Kawhi, where you're a good basketball player, but you're not foundational. You're not a cornerstone guy. You're not gonna carry me through the playoffs. Your injuries, that's okay. But I've been sold that you are, and this series has created absolute, inarguable clarity. He's a really good basketball player, but he's way closer to Kawhi than he is to LeBron. And that's okay. And afterwards, what did he say? He was bummed out about Knicks fans outnumbering Sixer fans. Here's Joel Embiid.
I love our fans. Think he's unfortunate. And I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
By the way, maybe Knicks fans only an hour and a half down the road went to the game because they've been hopeless for a decade and now they're hopeful, whereas Philadelphia with Embiid has always been hopeful, but this morning feels hopeless. So if you're selling me on one thing, okay, I'll listen to the sales job. But when I'm seeing something different than you're selling me, that's clarity. And we can just say, and it's fine, there's LeBron up here, there's quirky Kawhi down here, and Embiid's in the latter. That's the category he's in, which is fine. It's still a very good player in the NBA. I will say this about the Knicks. Jalen Brunson, there was arguments. Is he an A? Is he a 1? Very few times in NBA history has the small guy led a team to a championship. Isaiah Thomas, Steph Curry. Now, we don't know if Jalen's going to get you there, but there's no question watching this series who the soul of the series is, who the best player in the series is, who's the leader of the series, who's the heartbeat of the series. It's Jalen Brunson, not Embiid. Not just on the outcomes, but when you watch the game, the relentlessness of Brunson fits New York style, and Embiid plays small and Brunson plays big. That's how it comes across to me. J-Mac, what a weekend.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jalen Brunson. Remember, he's everything Carmelo Anthony was supposed to be. Remember how Anthony, he was supposed to be the Knicks savior and the superstar? It's Jalen Brunson, Colin. And by the way, you know, we saw Kevin Durant get bounced last night. Kevin Durant would look like a real good number two to Jalen Brunson's number one in New York next year,
wouldn't
he? I
don't think that's crazy. I thought about that this morning. It's not crazy.
No, Kevin Durant likely will get traded this offseason.
Get a bucket from Durant.
Yeah.
I don't need him to be cornerstone Durant.
Yeah. Ain't going to be the leader in the huddle. We know that.
Well, he wasn't in Golden State, and that's the most success he's had.
It's crazy how the NBA works. Like, Durant isn't a one. He couldn't win anywhere as a one. OKC, Brooklyn, Phoenix. But as a two, amazing, right?
That's, for years I said, Anthony Davis is the greatest two in league history. I'm not going to build around him, but he's a remarkable player. Anthony Davis is a remarkable player. Some guys don't have the personality, like Kawhi, Kevin Durant, Embiid. Nobody's disputing they're great. Brunson's got the game and the personality and the emotional character wherewithal. That's a one. Yeah. Curry's a one. LeBron's a one. I think Luka's got a lot of one. Yeah. He can drive me crazy, but I think he's a one.
People are too fixated on height. Oh, you can't be a small guard. It's about what's in here, the heart. And Brunson has that like we've never seen.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
All right, time for On a Monday. It's customary. Colin right, Colin wrong.
Where Colin was right.
The first 14 picks in the draft were offense. All six highly touted quarterbacks went in the top 12. 55 offensive linemen in the draft. We've been on this for years. Stop drafting as much defense high. Michael Penix, we never bought into a second rounder. He's a starting quarterback. I thought he may fall to like a Miami or a Dallas or maybe a Rams, but 23 of 32 picks went offense, 72%. Folks, they've changed the rules. Load up on offense like New England did.
Where Colin was wrong.
Ant Edwards was the best player in that series. I said, he's dynamic, he's great. But is he going to be Dominique instead of MJ? Does he have the leadership abilities, the relentlessness? Can he elevate teammates? That's exactly what he did in this series. Yes, he's dynamic. Nobody disputes Dominique was dynamic. I still think he has to improve as a shooter, but 31-8 in this series, was willing to guard KD, was verbal, was great with his teammates, was a coach on the bench. That's the difference between dynamic and MJ. You got to be willing sometimes to say the tough thing to teammates, guard the other team's best guy. Here was Ant after.
I told y'all yesterday, or day before yesterday, whatever the last time we played, that I want to kill everything in front of me. So once I knew we had a chance to sweep them, and, you know, I mean, why we want to go back to Minnesota? I mean, we know the recipe. They came out and competed. They played hard tonight. It was very tough, but, I mean, big shout-out to my teammates, man. They came out and competed at a high level throughout the whole 48 minutes, and they trusted me at the end.
Yep, four-game sweep, never, ever close.
Where Colin was right.
I said a month ago Jaden Daniels would go number two and that I trusted my source on this, and my source, Big J Journalism, is officially 4 for 4 on giving me scoops. Cliff Kingsbury and the organization decided over a month ago that Jaden Daniels was ready to play, Drake May wasn't, that his mobility would help them greatly with a rebuilding offensive line, and that right now as a pocket passer, he was more accurate and consistent. So they made this decision over a month ago. My source nailed it. Jaden number two.
Where Colin was wrong.
I didn't think the Suns would win the championship or even the West, but I was wrong on KD. He's not close to a cornerstone player. He's exactly what he always told us he was. A hooper. He gets buckets. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think less of him because of Brooklyn and Phoenix than I did when he was a Warrior. I did think he was a better, easier scorer than LeBron. But LeBron adds so many dimensions that KD doesn't. He is what he promised us and told us he was. He's just a hooper.
Where Colin was right.
Michael Penix Jr. I said it midway through the college season. That's a franchise quarterback. I don't care if he's left-handed. I don't care about the ACL stuff. And four teams, including Atlanta, were reportedly interested in the top 10 picks. Listen, size, arm, the ease in which he throws the deep ball, there's knocks on him. Like, for instance, the underneath stuff. You can teach quarterbacks the underneath stuff. You cannot teach a quarterback to throw a ball this beautiful and this accurately on deep routes. So Penix, not J.J. McCarthy, was the quarterback that many teams were moving up to get.
Where Colin was wrong.
Paul George, James Harden. I got to be honest on James Harden. I whiffed on that. I didn't think it was going to work. I thought it was just Kawhi, Westbrook, Harden, yuck. He's been great. Just what the doctor ordered. This was always a team with a good roster and a great coach that didn't have a lubricator, didn't have a point guard. He's been terrific. Yesterday, assists, threes, floaters. They tried to run him off the three-point line. All right, go ahead. And he burned them. A magnificent performance. He is, oh, and we said this years ago, he's always been a more willing passer than people get him credit for. But this has actually worked significantly better than I predicted I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
Also said this, that Jalen Brunson, I said this at the start of the year, will be the greatest Knick since Patrick Ewing. I never bought into Melo. I didn't buy into Mari Stoudemire. This kid, not Daniel Jones or Aaron Rodgers, this is the best quarterback in New York. Intelligence, toughness, clutch, leadership, he is fantastic. You know, I mean, historically, small guys don't lead you to championships. Steph, Isaiah Thomas did. But what I like about Brunson, he never takes the fans or his game for, you know, he doesn't take the foot off the gas. He is working it on both ends, every game. He is the Knicks. He feels like Tibbs. He feels like the Knicks. Toughness, leadership, clutch time stats, we were right.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought the Patriots in my final mock draft had such a weak roster, they'd move out of the three spot and accumulate a ton of picks. But I'm happy I was wrong. They went and got Drake May, and their first five picks were offensive, and seven of eight total picks were offensive. Which, whether or not he's going to star or even succeed at any level, you got to give these kids a fighting chance. Drake May's got a new coach. And Elliot Wolf did a nice job to help elevate him with some really interesting and fast offensive pieces.
Where Colin was right.
Bo Nix, Deshaun Payton, number 12. We called that months ago. Not that I had a source inside the Broncos building, but I did believe that of all the quarterbacks in this draft, he was a great fit. A great fit with Sean Payton. 61 college starts. Hyper accurate. Dad was a coach, very coachable. People forget on Bo Nix, he was a five-star recruit. I remember as a freshman, him beating Oregon Justin Herbert on a final drive of the game and thinking, who is this kid? He's good. He's talented. I saw him play live twice. And he is the kind of quarterback, Bridgewater and Breeze, that Sean Payton likes, that Kyle Shanahan likes. Here's the play. Follow it and deliver it accurately. The NFL's about fit, and he's a good fit.
Where Colin was wrong.
Eagles gave A.J. Brown an extension, making him the highest paid wide receiver, guaranteed money ever. I thought they'd consider moving off him. There was some drama. He will sometimes show his emotions. They had Devontae Smith. They got Saquon Barkley. They got good tight ends. They have a good old line. I thought they'd consider moving off him. He's a remarkable player. But instead, they doubled down. And if you look at Philadelphia's weapons, they are at the very top of the league. Tight end, running back, O-line, quarterback, wide receiver weapons in an offensive league. The Eagles are stacked.
Where Colin was right.
I know a lot of you bang on Sark, but 2 years ago, the Texas Longhorns had nobody drafted. This year, they had 11 players drafted due to Sark's recruiting, second only to Michigan. They are SEC ready. Sark gets criticized. The dude can evaluate quarterbacks, recruit his butt off, and they are now a powerhouse football program. They'll get to a national championship game. They'll win eventually a national championship. But what Sark had to do is what Lincoln Riley's trying to do. Let's make us a 10 to 12 player a year draft program. We got to get NFL bodies. And when you watched Bama face Texas last year, what was obvious? Texas had more good players. Texas was bigger and faster. Way to go, Sark. And with that, Albert Breer is now joining us. Here we go. What a fun draft. I'll start with New England because you know him so well. Whether or not you think Bill Belichick's a genius, he didn't do a lot to help Mac Jones. They overpaid for mediocre tight ends and possession receivers. Yeah. Zeke was washed. Matt Patricia. I thought New England at least sent a message. We're going to kind of pivot to a more offensive franchise. That's what it felt like to me. What say you?
Yeah, and I even think with the quarterback himself, you can say that. I mean, this is a nod to the environment they're in right now. Like you said, you know, offense is king, and the idea has always been over the last few years to just overcommit to investing around your young quarterback. They're doing that. And then, you know, again, just the pick of the quarterback himself, Colin, think about the environment for the next 10 years in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud. You're going to have to beat three of these guys in succession just to get to the Super Bowl. And so I think, you know, the Patriots looked at this and figured, we need to swing for the fences. Like, we like McCarthy. Penix is a good player. Bo Nix translates into some offenses. But to get this right and to get back to where we once were, we need to swing for the fences at the quarterback position, even if the floor is a little lower with the kid, even if the kid needs a little bit more development. So the idea here is to swing for the fences and then invest around the young quarterback.
So first 14 players taken are offensive. It's people moving up, people interested in Brock Bowers, multiple teams, Michael Penix, multiple teams. It felt like a little bit, Albert, of a league pivot to the acknowledgement that, guys, at the end of the seasons, nobody can stop anybody. You need weapons. That's what it felt. It was almost like a referendum on the change of the sport. Your thoughts?
I would say it's yes. I would say that's true. I think the other thing you want to look at here is the focus on certain positions, right? They're all quarterbacks, tackles, and receivers, with the exception of Bowers, who's seen as a unicorn at tight end, right?
Right.
So you look at the best teams and how they're building. They're building around receivers. They're building around tackles. They're building around quarterbacks. And then you look at the top defensive players to go, and Dallas Turner, Laiatu Latu, Byron Murphy, all those guys can get after the passer. And then you see a couple corners go later in the round. I think as much as anything else, what we're seeing now is the economics of the sport really trickling into the draft, where you look at it and you say, a receiver costs $30 million, a pass rusher costs $30 million, a tackle costs $25 million, a quarterback costs $55 million. So we need to draft them, and we need to get them in at a cheap rate, and then we'll be able to negotiate long-term contracts while they're on the roster. There are good players at other positions here. Graham Barton, the center from Duke, is a good example of that. But if you look at it, no safeties in the first round, no linebackers in the first round. Again, just the one interior offensive lineman. You know, try getting a running back close to the first round now. It didn't happen this year. I just think when you look at the overall makeup of the first round, yes, it's absolutely offense heavy. I think the other thing you notice is how much investment there is in premium positions.
So I thought there was a message sent by a couple of teams. One, the Niners going getting a couple of really good receivers. And I think the message is, listen, we like you, Debo. We like you, Brandon. We like you. But we're led by Shanahan's play sheet. Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams. When Trent misses games, they lose. I mean, Shanahan's record without Christian McCaffrey is around 500. So, I mean, I thought there was a message with their picks. And then that message was at their receivers. Yeah. By the way, Albert, 10 of the first 30, what was it? 37 of the first something picks were, 10 of the first 35 picks or something like that were wide receivers. That's the position that floods the market every year. What did you make of the Niners draft? Yeah.
And you notice too, Colin, before I get to the Niners specifically, how it was the tackles, then the receivers, right? And I think that that's sort of the way the makeup of the draft was too. is most of these teams look at it and say, you got to get a tackle, you got to get a receiver. It's harder to find a tackle higher in the draft. And I think that's why all the tackles came off the board in the top 20. And then you started to see the receivers come off the board. Obviously, you had the three at the top, but that's when the Pearsalls and the Leggetts and the Xavier Worthies and those guys all started to come off when the tackles ran out. I mean, if you look across the league, you can see a lot of second, third, fourth round receivers, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, all of these guys were the highest paid guys in the league, Tyreek Hill, that weren't first round picks. You can find receivers all over the place. And once the tackles ran out, I think you started to see that in the second round. Yes, the Niners are looking at the receiver position and wanted to create flexibility for themselves. And I look at this a little bit like, you know, a few years ago when they traded DeForest Buckner. They looked at their roster and there was a little bit of a bottleneck from a contractual standpoint with all the guys they were paying. They're in the same sort of situation now. And this is similar to back then in that they were looking at where they had a surplus in the roster. At the time, it was on the defensive line. They had both Arik Armstead and DeForest Buckner. They pay Armstead. They wind up trading Buckner. I think ultimately that'll be the way this goes. Initially, going back to January and February, I thought that meant Ayuk was probably as good as gone. I've changed my thinking on that. I now think they're probably going to try to extend Ayuk. Yeah. And I think Deebo Samuel is available.
Yes.
I think Ayuk is viewed more as the true number one receiver there, a guy who's a more natural receiver. And Deebo Samuel, as good as he is and unique as he is, might be seen as a little bit of a luxury item there.
Yep.
Now. So I think the plan for now is to keep all of those guys on the roster together and make one more all-in run with the entire group. But if you ask me who's going to be on the Niners roster longer, whether the change happens now or a year from now, I'd say Ayuk is probably going to be there for a longer period of time than Deebo.
And by the way, Deebo's style of play is, you know, pretty cautionary. He gets beat up. And McCaffrey, again, how many years can you give him? 300 touches, 200 touches. So I think, to your point, I think Deebo's the one that would exit. Now, Sean Payton goes and gets Bo Nix. I thought it looked, when I watched Bo Nix live, I thought, oh, this is Sean Payton's guy. There was a lot of smoke screens on. Yeah. They didn't love his hand size. In your opinion, did they decide on Bo Nix a while ago?
They think that they, I don't want to make them sound arrogant, but they think that they really got one here. And they think that a lot of people are wrong about him. And here's what I thought was really interesting about it, right? You know what made the Broncos nervous was when our buddy Joel Klatt said something and when Chase Daniel said something. Because Joel Klatt actually was in training camp with Sean Payton, so he knows that offense and he knows Bo Nix as a player. And Chase Daniel obviously played all those years ago for Sean Payton and is very, very smart about the quarterback position. So they were trying to keep this thing under wraps, but Klatt and Daniel came out and said, this is so perfect. So they saw the same things you were seeing, Colin. And, you know, they did their best to kind of keep it to themselves. And, you know, Sean Payton's obviously affected by the experience in 2017 of losing Patrick Mahomes. They loved Patrick Mahomes in New Orleans and they wound up getting jumped for him. And so they wanted to do everything they could to try to keep it quiet how much they love Bo Nix. Obviously, they weren't wholly successful doing that. But, you know, what's really interesting about this is Sean is seen as a very old school coach. They leaned heavily on analytics here. And if you talk to analytics people, the numbers tell you Bo Nix was the best quarterback in the draft. And I know that sounds crazy in a year when Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May and all these guys are coming out. But, you know, when the Broncos went and dug into it, when Sean Payton got the numbers back from their analytics people, I'm telling you, like in so many different categories, critical categories, Bo Nix was number one. So you had the play style, you had all these critical categories, and then you had the meeting in Eugene. And I'll give you one anecdote. When they were walking out, right, like from the meeting room to go out on the practice field, Sean Payton pointed down at Bo Nix's backpack and said, what do you have in there? So Bo Nix emptied his backpack. He had a pair of football cleats. He had a roll of athletic tape. And he had a lacrosse ball in there that he uses to crack his back. And the Broncos looked at that and said, this kid is all about football. And so it's like one of those little anecdotes where, like, all the stuff that you hear about Bo Nix being like all about ball and it's so important to him and a coach's son, they got validation of it. And I think, you know, walking out of that room and onto the practice field and Eugene seeing him throw the ball, then that was when they walked away saying, yeah, we can see this guy being the 12th overall pick. Absolutely.
Cowboys need a run game. I think Zeke is washed. Didn't draft one receiver in the sixth round. I mean, It looks like to me, if you look at their personnel, this will be a more Dak-dependent offense than ever going forward. That's what it says to me, you.
So let me ask you this, Colin. Do you think maybe the Cowboys are now are with Dak right now where the Rams were with Jared Goff in 2020?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I look at this and look, Jerry sort of poisoned the well with his all-in comment, because I think that, you know, raised the expectation that something was going to happen that was never going to happen because of where they are financially and because they have, you know, three big contract situations coming down the pike with Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb. But you just, like, look at it, and they've been knocking on the door, and, you know, they've been in the playoffs pretty consistently, but they haven't made it back to the NFC title game since 1995, and they've been unceremoniously dumped out of the playoffs the last couple of years by Green Bay and San Francisco. And I'm not saying that that's all on Dak. It's not. But he's had good players around him, and that's been a good roster.
Yes.
And so is there a Matthew Stafford available for them out there? I don't know, but it'd be really interesting to see what would happen if that sort of situation presented itself for the Cowboys, because it is starting to feel a little bit like they're in that spot where the Rams were with Jared Goff, where they're sort of openly asking the question, is this guy ever going to be good enough to put us over the top? And look, Goff proved a lot of people wrong in going to Detroit and doing what he did. So this is nothing against Prescott, but it's hard to imagine that train of thought hasn't entered the building in Dallas.
Yeah, I've seen Jared Goff get to a Super Bowl, out-duel Patrick Mahomes on Monday Night Football. I consider Goff a more talented thrower of the football than Dak Prescott. Good stuff. Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Good as always, bud. Good talking to you.
All right, thanks, Colin.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
What do you get when you combine a three-time Manager of the Year and a three-time National Sports Writer of the Year? It's the Book of Joe podcast. Hey, this is Tom Verducci from Fox Sports, MLB Network, and Sports Illustrated.
And I'm Joe Madden, and we're going to be around to talk a little bit about managerial decisions, playoff games, and what may have occurred in the dugout, maybe in the 1980s.
I can't wait for this, Joe. We're going to dive into what goes on in the dugout and behind the scenes in Major League Baseball.
Cars, wine, whatever else we want to talk about.
Listen to the Book of Joe podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
All right, Rick Bucher is going to be on Speak all week. It really interesting watching what's happening in the NBA. Steph's out of the playoffs. LeBron's out. Embiid's about to be out. KD's out. Mm-hmm. Dame could be out. Mm-hmm. And then you have these young teams like OKC and Indiana and Minnesota. And I didn't know if this was the year. Yeah. Because people were selling me on Sacramento last year. This is the year when OKC got another draft and more good players. And I don't know what it means for the NBA going forward. But I do feel like this is the pivot year. Like KD, to me, my view of KD, I've always thought a little bit of a wanderer, but you know, he's a cornerstone guy. I can't think of him that way. He's just a baller.
Yeah. No, he's a hired gun. He's a mercenary. Okay. And I wonder if it would have been different if Seattle had never moved to Oklahoma City. Because he was so attached. He still is emotionally attached to that city and that situation, that being where he started and where he got drafted. But since then, no, it's always felt like he's looking for that place that is going to fulfill him, and he hasn't found it. Right. And so he's a great player. He's a great talent.
Yeah.
And he has a great work ethic, but he doesn't create your culture. And I'm not convinced that he necessarily makes everyone better. He may work with young players. He may set a great example. But when it comes to really organizing you and orchestrating you on the court, he's not in the same camp as LeBron. And he's never wanted to be. He's never wanted that
responsibility. That's right. He's really right now what he always told us he was.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. I look at star players in the NBA. Let's say there's 15 true stars.
Yeah.
There's two camps. There's the, I feel like, kind of a Luka, LeBron, Steph, I can build around you. Then there's just the really talented guys.
Yeah.
Kyrie, Kawhi, James Harden. I always kind of thought KD was more in the LeBron camp. I do look at him now. Two of his last three playoff series out in the first round.
Yeah.
He's in the Kyrie, Kawhi, little enigmatic.
Yeah.
Not necessarily emotionally, physically, who I can depend on. Just an all-time talent.
Yeah. And this is the difficulty when we're trying to judge players or rate them or list them. And there's two components. There's sort of the emotional intelligence, your ability to lead, your ability to gather, your ability to connect. And then there's just your pure talent on the court. Yeah. And you have varying degrees of that, right? Jalen Brunson, probably talent-wise and just physical ability, like you're not putting him there with Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard. But the emotional quotient, the ability to connect people, to lead, puts him higher on the scale. And sometimes we just look at a player and their talent and go, well, you can't put Jalen Brunson. I mean, I think that's been the struggle all year long. Like, people have underrated Jalen Brunson because they don't understand what he does to a team. As Steph Curry has gone through the same thing. Pure talent, just because of the physical limitations, we underrate what they mean to a culture and to a team.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Playoffs can really create clarity. Like, if I was Phoenix now, I'd probably keep Booker. I'd move everything else. I would try to move it and start over. Don't double down on a mistake.
Yeah.
We talked about this earlier. What the playoffs have told us,
mm-hmm.
the oven beats the microwave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Denver, OKC, Indiana, the oven beats the microwave.
Yeah.
Take LeBron out, the microwave's almost useless. I mean, there was the Kevin Garnett Boston thing.
Yeah.
There's LeBron. And the rest of the stuff goes sideways fast, even with KD's talent.
Yeah, and even with LeBron, you still need the right pieces, and it didn't, even Miami, like, they didn't get it right the first time, and then they realized, oh, we got to add a few more pieces. LeBron's got to change the relationship between LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh has to change, and they were all willing to do that, and you had somebody who had the blueprint for that, so... Yeah, it takes time to build these. But as far as the Suns are concerned, I would go the exact opposite direction. I don't think you can build around Devin Booker. Because two reasons why he would be the guy that I would move.
Okay, so we talked about this earlier. You can get more for him.
Exactly right.
That's
right. I can hit the reset button. I can get draft picks back. I mean, you look at what Rudy Gobert got for Rudy Gobert.
Honestly, in a shooter's league, you could get three first and two players for him.
And he's 27 years
That's
old,
right.
And you have locked up for the next 4 years?
And he's also not a one, but he's for a team. Like let's say the Lakers had it. They're dying for like that. Like there's like a 10, and he would go to people that have a team and say, let's just give our bench and draft picks up and let's go get it. I think Booker on the, but my take was, okay, now I'm relying on Bradley Beal and KD. But again, if I get something in return, a bench, picks.
And I know who, and KD I've got for two more years.
All right.
And let's reset the expectation. I mean, I think it was always crazy that we were immediately saying, oh, they're championship contenders.
This is really interesting that you bring this up, because if you're Phoenix today, you've got to do something. This is not going to work.
100%.
You don't even match up with the Lakers, Denver, or Minnesota size. You just don't match up. Forget Milwaukee in the East and Boston.
And you have duplication to the nth degree.
On mid-range jumpers.
Yeah.
So just throw, you say Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could get not an ant haul, but a haul.
Yeah. You could get three good players and three first-round picks.
Tell me where he works. How about Miami?
Miami works. I don't know if I'm going to get enough from them.
That's true.
To be able to.
Yeah.
The only team that I looked at, and it's hilarious because it would reunite DeAndre Ayton,
Portland,
and Devin Booker. But if I could get Malcolm Brogdon, Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons,
and picks,
and two or three picks.
They don't want their picks because they're so young anyway now. Portland needs guys.
And Portland would say, hey, you know what? We got our new Damian Lillard. We got our new guy because the reason that you can't, I'm not blaming Devin Booker for what happened to Phoenix,
yeah.
But he's been there 9 years. He's never won a playoff game without Chris Paul. And he's looked at as the number one there. I don't know that you can keep him there and he's going to say, okay, now I'm going to be the number two. Or how you're going to get a number one.
So Portland needs exactly what he delivers. Veteran presence, 27 a night.
Yeah.
And maturity, doesn't get in trouble, and guy.
Whole thing. I mean, the whole package. Look, I'm not saying that that's going to happen or should happen, and I'm not even saying that that's the best deal. I just started thinking about what could the Phoenix Suns get for Devin Booker that would fit around everything else that they have that would make them better than they are right now, and that would do it.
Good call. What are you shaking your head at? I like that move. Portland's got too many young players and Jeremy Grant. They need a substantial all-star. And Phoenix needs picks, a bench, and guys that work with KD.
What guys that work with KD? What is KD at this stage, Rick? Is he almost done?
He's 27 a night.
Hurt all the time?
Yes. Well, doesn't play any defense? He played a ton of games this year.
Yep.
KD,
okay, so who's your leader? If you get rid of Booker, who's your leader in Phoenix? It isn't Kevin Durant and it's not Bradley Beal.
Well, but it's not Devin Booker.
Where did
Devin Booker lead you?
He was drafted by Phoenix, though.
That's exactly why you need to move him, because he's been there for 9 seasons, and without Chris Paul, he's never even made the playoffs.
Remember this.
Other than this year.
Before Chris Paul got there, Phoenix was a tire fire.
100%. Yep.
They were just like, well, Booker's good, and then Chris Paul gets there an hour later, they're good. He leaves, you're back to being disappointing. So he's not an asset that's winning big playoff series. Yeah. You're not moving that.
He's not your corner. We talked about cornerstones, right?
Durant played 75 games this year, by the way. He wasn't hurt. Yeah. He and Anthony Davis played their butt off this year.
Yep. Agreed. And look, Kevin can still, by all measures, look, he wasn't KD pre-Achilles.
He's still.
But he was as good as we've seen him since the Achilles.
Yeah.
And again, now knowing what KD is and he isn't, now I'm going to use Devin Booker and I'm going to try to find those. I'm going to find that orchestrator, which I think Malcolm Brogdon could be that. I'm going to find defensive guys like Jeremy Grant. Anthony Simons can be the scorer for less than Devin Booker is.
There you go. All right. So when you look at Lakers Denver tonight, it's so funny to watch Laker fans literally jump back on the, so you're saying we got a chance. And it's like, if Jamal Murray played tonight, they're going to win by 15. He may not, they'll win by 6.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of chatter. I thought it was very interesting that there was a story that was leaked last week that Darvin Ham will return.
Yeah.
To me, that was Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka getting ahead of the finger pointing by LeBron's guys. Yep. Was I wrong on that?
No. Well, I mean, and we've seen it happen. Whether it's Anthony Davis or Rui Hachimura or LeBron sort of indicating or by absence of saying anything that they're trying to lay all this on Darvin Ham, which is really disappointing. I mean, the Denver Nuggets have not taken them seriously.
They haven't.
in this entire season.
No, I mean, seriously, and they start slow every game.
And you know, you've beaten somebody eight times in a row, regular season, playoffs, it doesn't matter. And then you start slow and you're still beating them. You're still walking them down. I don't blame them, but it's why I fully expect that it's going to be over tonight, because they're going to say, okay, let's stop messing around. Let's get this down. I don't know that they're going to start any stronger, but they'll get to it a little quicker.
Yeah, people, Laker fans are not realizing, in any sport, if you beat somebody a dozen straight times, even in boxing, the guy that loses the first fight has a decided workout emotional preparation advantage after losing one fight.
Yes.
Denver's beaten these guys for 2 years straight every night. And by the way, the same way by closing out with 5 minutes left. So I think Denver tonight feels some urgency. The Mavs Clippers, so when you have players like Luka and Kyrie, and I would submit to you, before this year, they were both viewed as poor defensive players. Kyrie, awful. Luka, disengaged.
Yep.
But you have to build a roster to protect them.
Yep.
And so when I watched Dallas, I'm like, oh, it's a lopsided roster. Two great scorers and people protecting two bad defenders.
Yeah.
So I really do think, even though the two best players in the series are probably Dallas, I feel like the Clippers are a more, it's not a lopsided roster.
Agreed. No, agreed. They have more two-way players.
Yes.
They have more guys who can be a threat offensively and can defend
like
their position.
Like five guys with the Clippers.
Yeah. No, agreed. Agreed. It's their ability to stay focused and not to get into isolation basketball at the end of games. We see it over and over and over again. And the problem with Dallas is they simply haven't stayed close enough to make that work and finish it in two of the games.
Yeah.
I picked Dallas to win the series. I'm going to stay with them because if we just look on paper and what the Clippers are able to do, I rode that train for 3 years.
Yeah, so did I.
And then they just, at the end of games, Paul George, I can't trust his decision-making. James Harden, I can't trust his commitment, just his focus and attention. And then who else am I going to? And Kawhi Leonard, I can't trust that he's going to be healthy.
Yeah.
So who am I going to trust to bring the game home? If I look at them on paper, they should be in the conference finals. No question about it.
Right.
But how many times have they been?
Yeah.
No, so at some point, you just have to say it's inherently flawed.
The Suns this year are my Clippers last year. I kept convincing myself this year with Phoenix and last year with the Clippers, because I look at the Clippers roster and I'm like, I like all of it and I love the coach.
And it's for the same reason. And it goes back to our original thing about that emotional quotient, about that one player that galvanizes everyone, that makes everyone, that brings everybody together, especially when things get rough. Who is that for the Los Angeles Clippers? Who is that for the Phoenix Suns? I know who that is for the Dallas Mavericks.
Or the Knicks.
And I want Jalen Brunson, Luka Doncic.
So put your general manager hat on.
Yeah.
So Jalen's your one, but Julius Randle, they're better without him. Mm. They give Jalen more touches, so they're going to move him. If you were the GM, you'd probably move Julius Randle. He's expensive for kind of a B guy. Mm-hmm. Gives you great effort, so he kind of fits Tibbs. But in the end, they actually are better without him.
And probably because Tibbs likes him so much.
That's right.
Tibbs does more for him than you probably should be doing.
Who would you go get? Who would be?
Oh,
Karl Anthony Towns is really interesting, and they got some money issues here at the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I would potentially. This is the difficulty for me in that, if you're looking to bring in that really big talent like a Karl Anthony Towns, I don't know how that personality is going to fit in with a chemistry that the Knicks have from those Villanova guys.
Because he's sort of quirky.
That is so tight.
He's always been that.
Exactly. I don't know the maturity level. Now, I would hope that, as we've seen with Andrew Wiggins going to Golden State, that I have that young, kind of immature guy who really doesn't know exactly how to win, and I bring him into my culture, and he comes along for the ride. Maybe Karl Anthony Towns does that for you, but I don't know. So from a talent perspective, that would be a great, I'd love to, that would be a great fit.
What you are and who you are.
Exactly. And so, I mean, maybe it's, and I don't know that I'm going to get that for Julius Randle. I mean, why would Minnesota do
well,
that?
So Julius Randle, I think the playoffs are truth serum. You really
100%.
They're total truth serum. The truth is Jokic is dominant.
Yep.
Is that Dame when healthy is a handful. Jalen Brunson is it. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler is tough. Mm-hmm. They're also a true serum, but Julius Randle's always struggled in the postseason.
Yeah.
He hits a because he's an effort guy.
D'Angelo Russell.
You totally hit the truth in the postseason.
Yeah, yeah. Because during the regular season,
effort gets you.
Effort and pure talent. You can be really good when it comes to pure talent. And we talked about this with D'Angelo Russell. When D'Angelo Russell said, I play my best when I'm not thinking, I'm like, oh, that's a regular season player.
Yeah.
Because you have to be intentional with everything you do in the postseason. And it's as much as we're excited about Anthony Edwards right now, like Anthony Edwards has to take that next step. He's not always intentional. I'm watching the second quarter, and I'm like, Ant, what are you doing?
Well, I said this last week. I got pushback. I said he's going to either become MJ Light or Neek. Neek was a human highlight film.
That's a great comparison.
But he didn't take the next step and become a more a willing distributor.
You got to be a cerebral player. Yeah. If you're the best player, your decisions matter.
He's at the crossroads. Because he could be either.
Yep.
Now, in this series, Ant deserves credit because I thought he was really verbal, confrontational, was willing to talk to guys. I mean, you watched him, but he is loose. Now, he's 22, so I kind of like...
Yeah.
But I do think he's at a crossroads, and this series went a long way in me thinking, okay, he can be closer to the MJ than the Neek. And by the way, Neek's a Hall of Famer and all-timer.
Yeah.
But there was a difference.
Yeah.
And Michael was 100%. Completely intentional in every quarter of every big game.
What's so interesting with this is if you listen to his teammates, look, this is what I love about Ant. First of all, infectious personality.
Yeah, yeah.
Wants to be better and knows that he's not.
Yeah.
Like, everybody wants to make him into this thing. He's going like, slow down. I know what I don't know, right?
Yeah.
And you hear his teammates talking about, you know, we're really, he's watching film and he's trying to get better. And it's like, they're trying to encourage him to keep this going because they know he has the potential to be amazing, but two, that he's not there. And this is what I struggle with us as the media.
Yeah.
When we start anointing these guys, look, he's not fully formed.
That's right.
Don't crown him when he still has a ways to go because he's going to think he's already arrived and he's not there yet.
But he is at an interesting inflection point. Is he going to commit and be almost strategic with his career like MJ or just wildly entertaining?
Yeah. And this is also why it's so vital when you have young guys before you have to pay them to get to the playoffs, to get some of that truth serum. Before I pay this guy like a franchise cornerstone, can I see him in the playoffs? Because that's when I'm really going to find out if he's a cornerstone or he's just great entertainment value for the regular season.
Yeah. Rick Bucher. Good stuff, my man.
Yeah.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.